Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Booze and Boobs podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Katrina. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about some of our favorite horror movies.
We created this podcast as a way to give women more of a voice in horror. Men dominate most industries, especially film and television.
And that also goes for podcasts. We'll focus on female characters, motivations, or just expectations placed on women in horror, even if the situation is happening to a man.
We're excited you're here, and we hope you love it.
Now let's get to today's movie.
Oh my gosh. Either you're a Diet Coke girly or you're not. And I am not.
I read through all of your notes, and I was reading it, and I was like, yeah, this is what happens. And then I got to the end, and I was like, oh, wait. It's the end. Like, I was like, I really did miss nothing in the movie. I just did not care.
Yeah. I was a little sad that everybody hated it.
Did you really like it?
The first time I watched it, I really liked it. And then the second time, knowing the twist, it wasn't as exciting for me. So it's one of those, it's like, for the first time for me, it was like, ooh. And then it went, eh.
Like Incident in Ghostland?
Yeah, they tend to do that to me. Listen, I'm a sucker for a good twist, and so it's the second watch that really kind of shines a light on any kind of errors.
I had Malevolent in my Netflix list forever, like probably years, and it was just one of those movies I just hadn't watched, and I watched it not that long ago, but I felt the exact same when I watched it the second time. I was like, I was like, I understand the plot. I know what I'm seeing and understanding. I just don't care. Like, and it's so crazy because, like, there's no reason for that movie to be as boring as it is.
I know. And I think that's where it was just a lot of story and not as much action. And even when action was happening, you would get pulled out of it to, like, go somewhere else and see what somebody else is doing and then put back in. So it's like, even though it's like, oh my God, there's something happening, you get pulled right out of it.
Yeah, I really liked, I did. I really liked the beginning, kind of up until they're back at their own house, like, trying to figure out if they're going to take this new job or not. I'm just like, I was in, and then it's just, I didn't care about the old lady, and then when it reveals the twist, I'm just like, okay, this is your story, this is the story you're telling, okay, bye.
Yeah, and it, the old lady in this just, like, I get it, she's a bad woman, you know, she wanted these, I think she legitimately wanted help from these people, and so that's, she was skeptical from the get-go. And so I think if they hadn't found her secret room and it was just a fake, she may have just let them go. But I don't know. It just.
Literally over here scratching my head. I'm just like.
I don't know. I like a really good twist where when we found out that it wasn't Herman, but it was her trying to defend Herman against innocent little girls. I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Right. Do we want to do the intro?
Yeah.
Let's do you it. Have an intro?
Today's movie, we're going to be talking about sibling rivalries and how men in general take advantage of women and put them in unsafe situations, aka Malevolent 2018. Director has an interesting name, Olaf de Fleur. Let me go. I'm French, if that's even French.
It's definitely French. At least the last name is.
The one and only one that matters, obviously, is Angela, who is played by Florence Pugh. And then her brother, Jackson, is played by Ben Lloyd Hughes.
See, and when I was putting this the spreadsheet together, I opened up another tab to be like, what's the name of that guy? Because I recognize him from Me Before You and Divergent. And I was like, oh, okay, his name is Ben Lloyd Hughes. So I closed the tab and then I went back to the spreadsheet to write his name. And then the line right after just says notable characters. And I put Angela because I remembered that. And then I thought, I don't care enough about this guy's character to open the tab back up and see what his character name was. So I just put dot, 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 brother.
AKA Jackson. And I only know because I took notes
I'm
literally
glad
20
you
minutes
did.
ago.
I'm glad you took notes. We have seen titles. They're back. Yay.
For the first time in a long time. I tried
Well,
to include a little bit of like British slang in there when I could.
yeah, the movie
Yeah.
is set in Glasgow, Scotland in 1986. I was talking about the movie with someone and I said, it's the 60s, blah, blah, blah. And then they went, 60s. And I was like, 86. I don't know what I'm talking about. But also, I don't care.
Yeah.
Katrina and I were talking. It's like this, there's no reason for this movie to be as boring as it is. It should be better. It has all of the ingredients, but somehow the way it was mixed, the cake fell flat, you guys.
Yeah, I really liked it the first time I watched it because I told Rachel I'm a sucker for a twist. Like, if a movie has a good twist, I forget everything else that happened to me. I get blindsided. So the second time watching it through for this, I went in knowing that everybody hated it because Rachel sent me a screenshot and made me a little sad.
I
And it
said,
highlighted some of the not so great parts of it.
oh, it was so funny. It's some letterboxed reviews of the movie. Let me look at it. There were some of them that were just very funny. Okay. this one's one of my favorites. Some important life lessons here, none for the viewers, but several for the people involved in making the movie. So there's just a couple others. I only have a screenshot. I assume that these Letterboxd reviews were written before Midsommar came out, like when the Malevolent actually came out, because it was the same. Well, no, Malevolent was 2018. I think Midsommar was 2019.
Yeah, it was.
But somebody wrote, friendly reminder that Florence Pugh is booked and busy with Ari Aster's new film. Florence Pugh reading the script for Midsommar after whatever the fuck this was. Finally, some good fucking food. Someone said, Florence Pugh is way too talented and way, way, way too pretty for this. They.
How they gave her some Ariana Grande-ass ponytail.
Her hair was so long and it was dark. But I mean, obviously, it's still Florence Pugh, but I was like, what are they doing here? Like, are they trying to make her mysterious with
Well,
her dark hair? Just let her be blonde.
I mean, I don't even care that it was brown. I just like I feel like people
That's because you
who
have brown hair.
I don't people Rachel is a hater. I have dirty blonde hair. I have had stylists say that my hair is blonde, but Rachel's a hater. She wants to put me in the brunette category, which is fine.
That would
The
be because
brunettes
you
will
have brown
take me
hair.
because
They
the
will,
brunettes are not
because you
haters.
belong there.
Blondes are haters, and you're a hater, okay?
Okay, I am a hater. Blondes are haters, but blondes respect fellow blondes simply for being blondes. And if you were a blonde, I would respect you being a blonde, but you're not a blonde.
You're just a hater. It's fine.
I'm not
It's
just a
okay.
hater. I'm a hater, but there's more to me. I'm
Listen,
also blonde.
if anybody comments about this, I'm gonna post a picture of my hair, and we'll take a poll.
The TikTok I sent you in 2020 wasn't enough.
No, it
Okay.
wasn't because it was made by a blonde person who's a hater.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're just in denial.
No, I don't even want to be part of the blonde group. I am just upset
Well,
that you are
they
denying me. No, I am only upset because you deny my blondness, and that's it. I don't care.
If you had blonde hair, I would be like, yay, another blonde. But you don't. It's not my fault. We're
It's
gonna
okay.
get.
You've been led, miss. You've been misled. It's fine.
I think you've been misled, but okay. That is about 12 times more passion that we're going to have talking about whether or not Katrina's hair is brunette. It is. Than we are about this movie. But
Yeah.
I do
Well,
trust that Katrina and I are funny no matter what our hair color is.
or
So
the topic.
yeah, we'll get through this episode together.
Yeah. I think the reason I was surprised that her hair was so long was because usually people who have hair that's that long, it's their they make it to be part of their personality. Kind of like how people who are blonde make it their personality as well. Comments?
I don't have anything to say that would end with us still being friends.
Enough.
No, being blonde is part of my personality.
That's what I said.
I've started watching 30 Rock with my friend, with Marissa, all of our friends. We all know who Marissa is now. Woo, yay. That episode is way better than this one's gonna be, guys. Good luck. But she got me started with 30 Rock. Have you watched it? I think we're only in season two. We only watch it every now and then. But Jane Krakowski, I think that's what her name is. She plays this character, Jenna, and part of Jenna's personality is being blonde. And I'm like, girl, I get it. And I feel like a lot of people would say that Jenna's probably like the hateable characters of the show. But I'm like, my queen.
You
So
love all the people you're supposed to hate. It's a recurring theme at this point. It's fine.
this show has me giggling and then kicking my feet over Alec fucking Baldwin, okay?
Oh my God.
He is.
Isn't he like getting tried for murder at some point? Like, isn't he getting retried for murder? I don't even know.
Something I know that the
Or manslaughter.
weapons I know that the weapons like director or something got charged with involuntary manslaughter. I don't know anything about Alec Baldwin's trial because I don't care about him. See, this is the whole thing. This is what the show has done. Is
I have started watching 911.
oh.
I cry every day when I watch it. It gets to me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about the show 911. It gets to me every time.
I don't know. I'd cry if I was a brunette too.
See? Just a hater.
Not just a hater, but there's more to me. I'm also blonde.
Also, an idiot, but it's fine.
No, no contest here. No contest. No argument. I guess spoiler version of this movie. If you haven't seen Malevolent, the 2018 movie with Florence Pugh, right now it's on Netflix. It's been on Netflix. I've had it in my queue forever. But a quick rundown is Angela and Jackson are a brother sister duo, and they also have a couple friends, Beth, who is Jackson's girlfriend, and Elliot, who is around.
Trying to be Angela's boyfriend.
I don't know. I liked him. I did. I just like I don't care about anybody, so just because I care about you in this movie doesn't mean like you're a good character. I don't know. But the four of them are fake ghost hunters, I guess. So Jackson is the head of the business. Angela is the faux psychic, or like so she has visions or connections with the spiritual world. And I don't know what the other two do, but they help with the hijinks to trick people into thinking that they're achieving some kind of a result. Whatever, they're
Yeah, and
doing it for money.
they're not even doing it well, honestly.
I mean, they're doing it well enough that I think they said that they moved from America to Glasgow to escape something, and Jackson
Well,
has like bookies after him or something. See, I don't know. I don't
yeah,
care.
I know that like their mother went to America, but then in the movie, Beth was talking about like, I'm going back to London with or without you. So I don't know if they're from London or if they're from America. Not a clue.
The
But
movie
their
doesn't know
grandfather is
either.
from Scotland. He's in Glasgow where they are, I'm assuming. So
So we've got our ghost hunters. They're fooling people, trying to get a bag. And Angela is having some actual apparitions at some point that we believe is brought on by the grief and loss of her mother, who seemed to suffer from similar conditions, and her mother had ended up killing herself at some point. So obviously that fucks with somebody, and condolences, Angela and Jackson. And in their desperation for money for Jackson to be able to pay off his bookies, they accept a case with a creepy old lady who has a creepy son to rid that house of all of its spirits. And what's the twist, Katrina? Bring us home.
The lady was the bad guy all along. She
Dun
killed the
dun
little
dun.
girls.
Yeah,
And
so,
you know who the worser lady was? Her mother. Generational trauma.
yeah. What's the thing, like, the real something was the friends we made along the way? I don't know. The real trauma was having parents, I guess.
I don't know
Can
what you're
relate.
talking about.
Can
Sure.
relate.
Well, and I noticed in the movie that like Herman
The
never
son.
speaks. Yeah.
The old
Herman,
lady's
her
son,
son,
Herman.
he never talks. And I wonder if that was from trauma or if she like cut his tongue out like everybody else.
Spoiler alert, Mrs. Green is the old lady. What her, I don't know, signature torture method was breaking jaws, cutting out tongues, and sewing little girls' mouths shut because they wouldn't stop screaming because they were being tortured. So,
Right.
time is a
All
circle.
because.
And I think that our summary of this is more engaging, more entertaining, and more informational than the entire movie. Do you agree?
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. That's all we got for today.
Let's spin the wheel. What are we doing next
We
month?
covered it. But I think that the way the movie is set up is I like the intro, kind of like how you mentioned. You know, we open up, they're loading up the car, they're headed to like a father and daughter who had lost their mother. And I just hated Jackson from the very beginning. And I think that's intentional because I feel like the writers made it so obvious you should hate Jackson the whole time. And I'm
Yeah, I
like,
mean, I don't know if Angela and Jackson are supposed to be twins. I mean, they're siblings, obviously, but I don't know how close in age they're supposed to be. But they all seem to be around the same age, maybe early mid-20s.
yeah, I think he's maybe a little bit older, but not by much.
Yeah. So, he's just got all the bravado. He's all about the business. Somebody could be expressing their emotions about the situation they're in, and Jackson just slides in with a, oh, yeah, let's just sign the contract and you can pay us and then we can just get this out of the way because he has
Yeah.
only one thing in mind.
He has his script. He sticks to it. Oh yeah, I can tell she's feeling something. And the one thing I did like about Mrs. Green is that she did not put up with Jackson's bullshit, which we'll get there. But everybody just lets him talk. And I'm like, can someone please tell him to shut the fuck up?
That's the thing. It's like no one's really doing anything wrong. Like I said, like the movie has all the ingredients. It's a very straightforward plot. We know what happens. The ghost hunters who put up this facade end up getting involved in a real situation that puts them all in peril. Tale as old as time. That's totally fine. The landscaping is beautiful. I think the costumes are fine. It feels like it's in the 80s without being like over the top. I understand who these people are, but there's just like something in the formula that like I just don't care. So I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously I'm not alone. Letterboxd felt the same way. So I couldn't put my finger on it, and it's unfortunate. Like it should be better than it is.
Yeah, I think it. I mean, overall, I think it's a medium movie. You catch my joke there? My pun?
I got it. Medium psychic.
Well, it's Sayers Medium Service is their business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Gotta pay attention to the
no, no,
details.
no. Anyway, well, basically, they get to this job. They're in there for like what we see for like 30 seconds. And they've got this set up to where Elliot follows Angela around with the camera. And then when it's time, Jackson tells Beth to play the pre-recorded audio that they had set up.
Yeah, they're
And
committed to their bit for sure. Like, they've
yeah,
got
they do
tools.
research, they ask questions, they do what they gotta do. So they do their thing for like 30 seconds, and then Angela's like, Maddie, you can go now, basically. And then they play an audio that says, Frank, Susie, goodbye. And that's it. And
Yeah,
then
literally, they're in and out. Like, this is not a joke. It's just like, oh. The human girl I don't know says I can leave and stop haunting my house. Peace.
they're like, she's at peace now. Shut up. And they did kind of get me with this first jump scare. Afterwards, Angela sees what she thinks is a mannequin, but then it's like a person, like a bald woman. And then it turns back to a mannequin, and then it like kind of runs towards her screaming. Got me. I'm assuming that was the mother because the mother was sick with like cancer or something. So
Yeah,
the mother
so
did not leave.
yeah, I think that the spirits that are real, like throughout the whole movie, are mad that this service is being employed and they're just a bunch of phonies. So, and I can see that and I can respect it, but I mean, Jackson is really the ringleader. When Mrs. Green calls to say, like, hey, I saw your service in the paper. I want to hire you. Angela is very overwhelmed. She's not feeling well in general. There's a scene where she's kind of getting in trouble for skipping school and not doing her assignments. And she's having nosebleeds because she thinks that she's seeing apparitions, but she thinks that she's seeing things. She doesn't know that she's seeing real things. She thinks that she's just going crazy like her mom. So Angela turns down the job initially. Then Jackson finds out about it and accepts it. There's an altercation between Jackson and Angela because Jackson just has one thing on his mind. Like I said, he just needs the money to pay off his debts, and then he and Beth can go off and live their life together. And Angela's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, we're frauds. It's taking an actual toll on me. But older brothers just don't give a fuck.
They
Can
don't, and
relate.
he just straight to guilt tripping, and he's like, they're gonna kill me. Like, that's her fucking problem or her fault. Like, I get you want to help your sibling out, but at the same time, go get a fucking job, a real one.
Yeah, also, it's the
Maybe.
80s. Like, you guys were making way more money in value than we are now. So I don't feel bad
Absolutely.
for you.
No. Not at all. And especially if you, I'm assuming bookies are usually gambling. So, like, if you're gambling your money, you're even dumber than I thought.
And we thought you were
Because,
pretty dumb.
but yeah, well, and it could be drugs because it seems like throughout this, Jackson is also struggling because he's taking pills and, what was the other thing? He's list like he listens to his like self-help CD all the time. Like he's like, ugh, if you can control your reaction and your emotions, you can control the situation.
Yeah, very red
And
pill stuff.
yeah, and I'm like, this dude's gonna lose it. So
I did see one theory that was like potentially Jackson was also having visions and feelings and things like that, but he was using drugs and his little self-help things to control his situation versus falling into the grief like Angela does, which I think is a good depiction of some different ways that men and women handle issues.
Right. And I would agree with that because I noticed Angela has a nightmare where she sees her mother in the kitchen with her eyes scratched out, saying, "I can't find Jackson. I can't find him." And then later in the movie, when they're all in the house and he can actually see the children now, like he can see the apparitions, when he gets in the elevator, he sees his mother and she says, "I found you." And immediately after that, he pops a pill.
So,
And I'm like,
I'm down with that theory.
yeah, me too. Because I mean, he has the ability because he sees the children in the end, like before he's taken to the shed. We all know what that means, okay?
Or behind the shed too.
Yeah. So they agree. Yeah, after Angela has her little nightmare, she feels bad because Jackson's probably gonna die. She falls asleep, like reading some letters and cards and looking at photos like from her mother and stuff. And the title of that scene I made, maybe she's born with it, or maybe it's a mental illness, isn't it? In a bad British accent, obviously.
Obviously.
But she sees a letter talking about Angela's own release from a psychiatric hospital. So we know that Angela has struggled in the past with her mental health.
Haven't we all? I'm struggling right now.
The struggle is real.
So the crux of it is that Angela agrees to take this job that Mrs. Green has offered, and they start investigating the house. They figure out that there were some girls that had passed away. When they get there, Angela has to do her whole, like, I need to inspect the house kind of a thing, which I so badly want to relate Jackson and Angela to the brother sister version of Ed and Lorraine Warren from The Conjuring, but the Conjuring movies just have way more heart to them, even though they're super, super scary. Like, you just care all the way through. And I never got to care about Jackson and Angela. I feel like they tried. Like, when we're breaking this down piece by piece, just having this conversation, I'm like, yeah, I can see this point. I see that this thing has happened. Like, I just can't get it to connect in my head to give me an emotional response. And that's
Yeah.
what I'm so frustrated with.
And I think like maybe where like the brother-sister relationship didn't really click with me is Jackson was constantly talking shit and being like borderline abusive to Angela. I mean, like, you're gonna be crazy just like mom. You're gonna end up just like her. You blah 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 blah. And then as soon as he got his way, he's like, "Oh, I love you, baby sister." And I feel like in most true sibling relationships, it's like, I mean, she did tell him to shut the fuck up, but like more, I need you to like fight your brother. Like fist fight him, please. Like,
That
it's
happens.
like,
Yeah, because Katrina just has sisters, and I do have an older brother, but we're so far apart in age that it's just this situation that's happening in this movie, it just would never happen. We're as
yeah.
close as we can be for being 10 years apart, but we're just not super close, so.
Well, and like Faye, okay, so my sister Faye, her two daughters, so Bailey and Kenzie, my nieces, she told me that one time they literally physically fought in the backseat of the car over something at McDonald's, like in the McDonald's drive-thru. And my sister was like, "I couldn't believe what was happening in front of my eyes. Like they were fighting over the dumbest thing, like physically fighting." And I'm like, I can see it. Because they're like 2 years apart. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Teenagers.
I do really enjoy depictions of siblings where they are very aggressive with each other, because I'm just like, yeah, that seems normal to me. Like, I'm not glorifying aggression and abuse or anything like that, but it just seems like when you have a sibling that close to you, it's just a completely different kind of relationship than you'd probably have with any other person ever. So
Yeah,
it's funny.
and that's the thing is most people see like your sibling as the person you can talk the biggest amount of shit to, and they're still gonna be like, oh, you wanna go get fucking chips and queso after this? And then it's fine. Like, you're cool.
Yeah, Jackson and Angela, they don't have that.
Now they have a weird kind of dynamic, I think.
Yeah, they're dependent on each other because they're living together, they're doing this business together. But I mean, right after the first scene where they've cleansed the first house, they're all at some like underground club, and that's where we see the Jackson and Beth have a relationship and that Elliot's trying to get something started with Angela, but I just don't believe the relationships between each other. Like, I understand what they are on paper, they're just not compelling.
Yeah, I wouldn't see myself going out to a club with my brother.
Me neither.
See, there we go. I don't have a brother, but it wouldn't happen.
No.
Sorry. Showed if I have. TikTok has ruined me.
Honey, it was ruined when she bought it.
Just started watching The Nanny the other day.
I've never watched that show.
I watched like the first two or three episodes as like a filler in the background. And it was like silly, cute, funny.
I'm
It's fine.
rewatching Full House.
I don't think I've watched that.
That's. I mean, I watched it a ton as a kid, but I haven't watched it. And I was just like, this is going to be my show that I just like have. I haven't watched it in a little bit. I've been busy.
It happens, it happens.
Okay.
Read
So,
it. Get this shit
done
going.
with. So now we have arrived to the estate where Mrs. Green lives. It's truly an estate. Like, the driveway is 12 miles long, and that is a spoiler for something that will happen later. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, I would have died a lot sooner in this movie than the others because I'm not walking back to that house for you.
I wouldn't
Just
expect you
kidding.
to.
Yeah, I'll go get help because I'm already halfway down the driveway. We'll talk about the mistakes that were made. And to be, yeah, we'll get there. Anyway, so they've set up for their investigation of this mansion. I mean, it is gigantic. Like they refer to things as wings. So the east wing is shut down for construction, basically not safe, I guess. And how they had cords long enough to go up and down these staircases and hallways and stuff. I don't know where they came up with that. It's like, I think Elliot was a magician just pulling it out of his thing
Well,
like a
they are tricksters,
flag.
so.
Oh, sleight of hand, I see. So they start their investigation, and Mrs. Green asks, kind of how does this work? And Jackson like kneels down in front of her and is like, well, this is how it usually works. And she's like, stop right there. Get up out of my face. Don't patronize me. Like, is this just what you do for all your clients? And like, she kind of calls him on his shit and he accepts it. He's like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he's just there for the business. So, like, whatever part he has to play to get the check signed, he doesn't care.
Yeah. And there was an awkward part at the beginning of their visit where he was like, could we just get this out of the way? Like he wanted the money up front. And Mrs. Green was like, but your flyer says I don't have to. And he was like, oh, fuck this old lady. Because he thought he could get one over on her because she's elderly. And that was not the case.
I guess my argument for that was because she pulls out the flyer that has 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Now, I didn't read it. It definitely could have said it, but my understanding of 100% satisfaction is like, we'll refund you, but you still have to pay.
Yeah.
So
Like there are some things you gotta pay day of.
I'm splitting hairs, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but at this point in like the relationship, he was probably smart to not push her on it. Because it's like she's already paying double your normal rate than other people. I'm like, well, it's double the fucking house, okay? more than double. But Angela is going down these hallways, just kind of like looking for things, talking about the girls. And then she actually sees one of the girls. And in the past, it's always been a quote unquote auditory gift. So she's not used to seeing apparitions. And so when she sees the girl with her mouth sewn shut, she realizes it's Tammy and that she's like, Elliot, you really don't see her? And he's
That's one
like,
of the girls from like the little news articles they read before, right?
right. Yeah. And so beforehand, Mrs. Green had given her photos of the three girls, which is like Tammy, Claire, and Missy, I believe. And so she knows what they look like, which is helpful. Sorry,
The
trying
better
to
the
think.
ghost you know.
Well, and I always thought it was weird how they asked so many questions at the very beginning because I'm like, girl, she's a psychic. She'll figure it out. No, you figure it out. I'm not giving you anything like that. But
I feel like it goes both ways. I mean, I don't truly believe in like psychics or things like that, but my understanding is like asking all those questions, it's like to guide to the right channel to
right.
put it all together. But also for a hoax, it's I'm just using the information you gave me.
Yeah.
So
Well,
out
and
both ways.
I mean, I love Long Island Medium, and she doesn't need anything, okay? So, have you watched Long Island Medium before? Oh my God,
I know
Teresa
that's like
Coote
the
is a
lady,
hoot
like
with the hair and the nails. Yeah. I do love her. She's funny. But basically, as Angela is following this little girl through the house because she wants me to follow her, they end up in the east wing, and Jackson is telling them, like, what are you doing? Turn around. This is not the plan. Stick to the plan. And Elliot steps on a weak board and falls through the hallway floor.
Yeah, he falls like several stories down.
Yeah, it was not a good, it was not, he's not okay. He basically broke his ankle. I don't know if the bone stuck out or not, but it was bloody. So it was bad. And Jackson leaves Beth with Mrs. Green and hustles, not really, to his aid. And he's like, when they get down there, he's like, oh, well, at least he's not faking it. Like, have some fucking compassion here, man. This dude is in pain, but he wants to continue. He doesn't want to stop the job.
Yeah,
And
Justin
I
just
think
wants the
this,
money.
and this is where Angela like truly sticks up and is like, no, fuck you. We're done. Like, we're not going to keep working on this. Elliot's hurt. He needs help. And while they're down in the little, he fell into a room that had like no doors almost. Like, I didn't see any doors. And they had to climb up out of the hole with a ladder. So I just assumed that there wasn't one.
Or
And when
there
they
was a
were,
bunch of stuff in that room too.
yeah.
So, I mean, the door could have been barricaded from the inside. We don't really know, but I don't remember how exactly they started, but they started ripping off all the wallpaper and then they
Yeah, she
started seeing the
saw.
little, oh, go ahead, you might know.
Well, she saw like somebody scratch the word help into like the concrete wall. And then that's when they started pulling off the wallpaper, like you said. And they saw like a rough sketch of a girl with her mouth sewn shut. And there was a doll with her mouth sewn shut. Like, this is all about sewing mouth shut at this point. But while they're down there, the camera is still like rolling. And so Mrs. Green sees what they found. And so it's like a switch has flicked on her. And she's like, well,
Yeah.
now she's in defense mode
Yeah, I don't think we
because
had
she
mentioned
knows.
before when the gang does their whole tech setup, they have like monitors. So while Elliot's following Angela around with the camera, it's relaying live footage back to Jackson, Beth, and whomever the client is so they can see everything that Angela is experiencing. So that's why it's always like an auditory gift, is because they have the recordings. But now Mrs. Green has
Yeah.
seen. So, little fact.
Yeah, and so it's from here on out downhill entirely. And
Not
this
that
is
the
kind
movie
of
was
where the
never uphill.
action well, this is where the action kind of starts. Because Jackson goes to tell Mrs. Green, oh, it's just a hiccup. And she's like, you guys have failed. And I'm kind of like, what? And then she kind of realizes that it's all a hoax. It's a bunch of bollocks. And she's not going to put up with that. And she comes clean, basically, and tells Jackson that the girls were really the one to the blame, well, the ones to blame. They were the monsters. Herman was innocent, and he's a good boy. They just wouldn't be quiet.
Yeah, and we're here and we're like, who gives a fuck? Like, none of us had any inkling that Mrs. Green or Herman were serial killers or they were involved in anything. Like, there's nothing that the movie sets up for this other than just that we're being called to go to their house. So, like, sure, it's
Well,
a twist, but I don't care. I'm just like, why? What? Okay, cool.
she could have played it off. Like, oh, Herman, that must have been the room that Herman, because they don't know that Herman is there. They have no
No.
idea. So, like, she could still blame Herman for that room and be like, oh my God, I can't believe this. So, like, I feel like she fessed up for no reason. She could have just, like, let them leave and been like, well, fuck me. This didn't work. And she just didn't decided not to do that and try and kill everybody.
Yeah, I
Because she's
see.
crazy.
You're completely right with, like, this is where the movie goes downhill because now Beth is gone.
Yeah.
Jackson's, saying that they're gonna leave because obviously Mrs. Green is spouting nonsense about being a killer. So they're like, well, we gotta go.
Yeah.
So Elliot and Angela are able to get outside. Jackson goes up to the attic, which I don't know how he knew she was there, but he finds Beth with a bloody mouth and her mouth is all sewn shut.
Oh, he followed a little girl up there. Because he,
Oh.
this is a part where he admitted, oh, I can see the apparitions too.
Oh, that's right.
And
Yeah.
then when he's like, I have to follow her. And then when he goes into the elevator, he sees his mother and she's like, I found you. And he
That's
pops a
right. Yeah.
pill.
It's all kind of like everything's happening at the same time. So I'm just like,
It really
I'm like,
is.
are we there yet or not?
Yeah. So yeah, he finds, like Rachel said, he finds I forgot her name, Beth,
Beth.
upstairs with the radio still on her, which I would take that if I was like a serial killer. I'd want to know what they were saying personally. But with her mouth sewn up, and when she tries to talk, like more blood pours out. So I'm assuming they cut her tongue as well because she couldn't even like mumble really. So we get a little jump scare because we're with Elliot and Angela in the car, and we just see Beth's bloody face in the mirror window. And I'm like, there we go.
It's
There
like,
she
and
is.
then we've already seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But Jackson puts
And
Beth in the front seat, and
ugh.
then they're
This part
trying
makes
to
me
start
so
driving
mad.
off.
I'm
I know,
so
like,
mad.
I saw your note that. Here's Katrina's note. It's very funny. Jackson should not be the driver. He speeds off thinking it's a ghost. Oh, and no, that's not what you said.
It kind of it like gets a little cut and go there, but yeah.
Well, Katrina's note is that a woman should have been driving because if they knew that they'd be driving crazy, they'd buckle their friend in. Because what happens is Jackson starts driving. He's going down the winding driveway. He thinks he sees a ghost in the middle of the driveway. And I do give him props for like being like, fuck this ghost, you're not real, and just driving through it instead of like the
Yeah,
cliche would
absolutely.
stop. But this movie takes away what could have been a cool thing because it was just an apparition of a ghost, but really Jackson ran over the gardener, so the car crashes. And nobody's wearing their
Right.
seatbelt. So Elliot and Angela in the back get like thrown forward and pass out in the back seat. Beth goes through the windshield, yoink. And then Jackson goes to find her. And
I'm
what you think
so
happens, happens.
upset. Like this was in all Like, fairness, this was a decent escape attempt. Like, they had a chance. All four of them were together. They were in the car. All he had to do was just chill the fuck out. She's not gonna catch you in a car. She's an old lady.
Yeah, there was no car tampering, which is crazy. They took enough time to kidnap Beth and then start their whole little sewing thing, but they didn't like pop a
Right.
tire.
Yeah,
They had
like,
it all.
cut their brake lines. Yeah, it making it Jackson's fault was just so annoying. And I mean, like, it's part of his character. Like, I don't know what pill he popped. So, like, he obviously was not, like,
Well,
he in general is not a rational person. Add drugs to that. Who knows what's gonna freaking happen? But this scene just made me so mad because I'm like, no matter what the situation, if I know that my friend is in pain and hurt and I'm gonna be driving like a bat out of hell, I'm buckling you in before I take off.
I appreciate that. You won't
Yeah.
come back to the house for me, but you'll buckle me in.
You know, and if they had just buckled her in, that would have been fine because then they could have just, I guess the Herman showed up too soon, but like Jackson could have done something else rather than crying over his dead girlfriend that he just killed.
I mean, I'm working in car insurance and like claims and stuff like that. So, like, sure, Jackson's at fault for failure to maintain control of the vehicle, but extenuating circumstances. So, I don't fault him completely because he did try to go outside of the horror movie norm and actually just go through the spirit. It just happened to be the gardener. But that
Yeah.
was a crazy hit. And then they like ran through and like hit a fallen tree. And then that's when the impact happened, which just yoinked Beth out of the windshield. So.
But at the end of the day, if they had taken his blood, he would not have passed. Like, he would have been under the influence, most likely.
I think that the hospital would have been more concerned about Elliot's ankle, Beth's mouth, and like the injuries before they were just like, you're under the influence. Because they would have had an address and phone records and
Yeah.
stuff that would have been like, we were called to go to this place, go to this place. Like, we have photo evidence, we have cameras that say
Yeah.
that all this bad stuff is
Honestly,
happening.
and he could have been like, the lady drugged me, and they probably would believe him.
Oh, great call.
Thank
Absolutely.
you. Oh,
Yeah.
I should have been a villain. Okay, sorry.
You're a Capricorn. Isn't that enough?
It's never enough. That's
Spoken like
also
a
being a
Capricorn.
Capricorn. Exactly.
Yeah. So, like Katrina said, this is where Herman shows up. So, he knocks out Elliot
Yeah, both the
and,
boys.
yeah. And he takes Jackson first, which is like one thing. But then he comes back. Elliot's trying to escape while Beth's waking up. Then Herman knocks out Elliot and then takes Beth back to the house.
Takes
So
Jackson back to the house.
they already took Jackson back to the house.
Well, they don't take Beth back. Beth is dead. They don't care about her.
I don't mean Beth. I meant Angela.
She walks back.
Well, she's crazy.
She, and honestly, they have a couple of scenes where it's her walking to the house and then her walking away from the house. And I'm like, we get it.
Long driveway.
The scenes need to be like quicker here. And which is why about halfway through this movie, I was like, watching it the second time, I was taking notes. I was like, this is taking too long. And so I was looking around and I realized on Netflix, I can watch this at 1.5 speed. And I was like, my prayers have been answered because I always watch TikToks at 2x speed. Have you seen how to do that?
I know that you can, but I haven't.
I watch everything at 2x speed. I'm like, I don't have time for your pauses and stuff.
Let's get through it.
Yeah, sometimes when I edit, I speak up the audio so I can
I
get
did
through
that
it.
when I was editing the Silence of the Lambs episode because I knew that all we were doing was just talking. So I'm just
We're
like,
just
okay, let's
yapping.
Let's get this going. I know we're not saying anything important. Let's get it over with.
Yeah, just a couple of yappers. Just keep on going. So
Yap one
yeah.
and yap two.
Yeah, there was too much of her walking down the driveway and not enough yapping for me. So I was like, yeah, speed it along. So I
Yeah.
just took speed notes. So I was like, I know what's happening. I know it's coming. But
No, and you were right. Angela does walk back. I just, it's all like mixed up in my head. And if I was like super paying attention, then I would see that because you're right. Like, and everything like in your notes is right. Like, it's exactly what's happening, but it doesn't stick with me. So I'm just getting confused. So I'm sorry. I'm a bad podcast host. I'm not informed about what I'm speaking about, but at least I'm funny.
well, I mainly remember because I finished these notes like 20 minutes before we started talking. So I
It's fresh.
procrastinated. I am also a bad podcast host.
Yay.
Two peas in a pod.
It's okay. Nobody listens to us anyway.
Yeah, it's okay. We miss you, even though you're not here. I understand Angela's logic to go back to the house and try and save her brother because, like, physically, other than her head, she's okay. But she could have taken this opportunity since she was already way down the driveway to get out and get help.
Yeah, I
And
mean, Jackson would have been dead by the time she returned, so I understand her like trying to do like the savior
right.
thing, but spoiler alert, it don't matter.
It does not matter. So we see Jackson waking up with Mrs. Green, and she's going on her little villain rant, talking about how my mother taught me well, where she talks about how abusive her mother was, like spanking, she would burn her private parts, etc., for being loud or for misbehaving. And so basically, she's got some heavy trauma about being quiet. Like, and
Me
I've
too.
seen,
Can't be
girl,
quiet.
I've seen this thing where I don't know if it's true or if it's not, but like people who tend to have like some sort of like disdain towards children, not to name names, but both of us probably
Well,
at
you
this
didn't name
point.
our names, so.
Oops. Well, they basically, when children are like loud and like doing, like being having fun, they're playing, they're being like what you would consider disrespectful, you internalize that and consider it rude because you weren't allowed to do that as a child. Like,
Okay. Since you got your degree and you know every fucking thing. Damn.
but it makes sense because I'm like, the things that I'm like, I have to tell myself, I'm like, these are kids. Like, they true, like, they do not know what I know. And so I can't really get mad at them for not knowing things that they haven't been taught yet or whatever. But I'm like, but it's still irritating the shit out of me. But I have to be the adult and regulate my emotions. And
It's
so, yeah.
hard because you lose in both ways. For example, like I feel the exact same thing. Like there's a lot in my childhood that's like fine and I was allowed to do this, that, and the other, but there were a lot of things that I was very like boxed in for. Like I definitely w wasn't allowed to like express my negative emotions. Otherwise that was being disrespectful instead of just trying to be a kid and deal with things. So
Yeah.
you don't get that opportunity as a child to like feel your feels. And then when you're an adult, you don't get to feel your feels about how you feel about the annoying kid because you are rational enough to be like, that's a kid. I have to be the bigger person. So like it sucks both ways. Like you never
Yeah.
get an
You
opportunity
never
to
get that
win.
like freedom to like just be like, ugh. And because for us, it was stop crying or I'll give you a
I'll give
reason
you
to
something to
cry.
cry. Yeah.
I'll give you something to cry about. And so you just had to like take a deep breath and like and shut it down.
Oh man.
And
My
so,
I was
yeah.
used to get in trouble for rolling my eyes, and I'm sure I was, but I had no way to like physically stop it. I did not know how to not roll my eyes. And I still don't think that I can. I just like instead of rolling them, I just like widen them really wide. So I'm like, I'm not rolling my eyes,
You know
but
the craziest.
I'm feeling feelings right now.
You're gonna see my whole eyeball, so you know that I'm not rolling them at
I'm
you.
like,
Give them the crazy
yeah,
eyes.
I know. Or it's like your mom says, like, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. And I'm like, bitch, I'm suicidal. Okay.
Please.
Like, do it.
Well, and my thing is, like, I didn't ask to be here. You brought me here without, like, against my free will. Like, I
Oh,
had no free will.
I say that to my mom all the time. She's like, well, none of us asked to be here. And I'm like, okay, so you're just perpetuating the cycle and that's somehow my fault?
You decided to make it like you made a choice, and I'm here. So now you have to deal with it.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm headed to my mom's after this. I'm gonna talk to her about some stuff.
My mom called me yesterday and we just hadn't talked on the phone for a couple of days and she's like, I missed your voice. And I was like, okay, well, I'm about to be annoying. So you called me.
Prepare yourself. Oh, speaking of mothers. Next month is Mother's Day, right? It's May,
Yeah.
I think so. I'm a bad daughter, honestly. I don't even know when Mother's Day is, but do you think we should do like a mother themed movie for next month?
I mean, yeah.
Don't sound too enthused.
I mean, there's lots of them. So, I mean, there's, I mean, I know that we've talked before, like in passing, like there's Mama, there's Ma, which isn't like a mother movie, but it's like a mother type movie. There's Mother, the Jennifer Lawrence movie, which
I haven't
is,
seen that one.
it's not scary. The movie, I feel like it's not fair to anybody who goes into it not knowing what it is. It's an allegory. There's so much symbolism in it. Like the movie is just 1800 different types of symbolism thrown together into one single story. So it would take us 7 hours to dissect it on a podcast. But it is well done. It's very uncomfortable and stressful. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. There's also Hereditary, which is about a mother and a mother's trauma, which got that. So.
Well, and we did Midsommar last May, so
Oh, both
we
Ari
can
Aster movies. And
we do love a good theme.
I love it. And then it was last May was the episode we put out where we said that we were gonna be consistent about doing one a month. And I know that we skipped November, but we gave you two in October, so like don't at me.
Get off my back.
So you've gotten 12 episodes from then to now. So boom. So,
Welcome.
bookends. I'm in. Wow, we picked next month's movie before we even finished talking about this month's movie. This is like skill I've never seen.
Who are we right
Productive.
now? Amazing. We're
But we're
amazing.
so close to
Okay.
the end of this movie. Let's get it
Okay,
over with.
let's wrap it up. So we have, okay, so Jackson is being tortured right now. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
So
and
we,
Angela's back, and Mrs. Green is blah blah blah. My mommy didn't love me. Me, me, me,
right,
me,
right. Yeah. So she does her little routine where she cuts off Jackson's tongue
me. Blech.
and then breaks his jaw.
He
And
deserved that.
I can only assume that she breaks his jaw so that he doesn't have like the strength to rip the stitches out by opening his mouth. Because I'm like, why else break their jaw? You've cut their tongue and you're sewing them shut, their mouth shut. So then she sews his mouth shut. Elliot is still, oh, this is where Elliot starts literally crawling back to the house and finds like a little cane thingy. So he's on his way.
Like
And
what's
then,
that movie? I Say It or something? It's like on my way. On
yeah.
my way.
Forever. Yeah, it takes Elliot a decade to get back to the his house. I swear.
Well, it's okay
And he's
because Mrs. Green has a
struggling.
long speech.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, Elliot at this point is a hero to me. Like, he went through it, and he goes through even more in a minute. But yeah, Mrs. Green is not done talking, and she mentions how the girls wouldn't be quiet and they needed to be silenced. Get over yourself. She sends Herman to go get the others and finds Angela downstairs. And we see him knock her out and then like pet her. And then
Oof.
Mrs. Green be like, stop staring at her. So I'm wondering if the girls were monsters because Herman was starting to like the girls, and she, Mommy Dearest, was jealous and was like, my boy, I'm gonna be the only woman in my boy's life. Gross.
Gross.
Anyway, that's just my theory. But Angela wakes up tied up next to Jackson with him staring at her, and he like blinks at her in a way to like say, I'm sorry, because he can't talk, obviously. It's the quietest he's ever been. It's the best part of the movie. I just wanted him to shut up the whole fucking movie. Like, Jackson, you're a piece of shit. Be quiet. And when they look up, they can see that all the little ghost girls are standing in front of them. So Mrs. Green shows up and she says that take Jackson to the shed, meaning not good things for him.
Yeah,
Angela cries
he's done.
out. Yeah, she's like, he's all I have left. She doesn't care. So then she starts in on sewing up Angela, where our hero Elliot shows up. Salute. And he has like a sharp shard of wood and kills Herman, surprisingly, like very effective,
He
honestly.
uses all the adrenaline he has for that one hit.
Yeah. And then after that, Mrs. Green gets a taste of her own medicine, is like, he's all I have left. Girl, shut up. But instead of taking out Mrs. Green, her Elliot decides to go help Angela. But not even help her, just talk to her. And so gives Mrs. Green time to get a fucking hatchet, not a hatchet, a fucking cleaver? Is that what she had?
Yeah,
A
they're
giant
close
fat
enough.
square knife, same thing. And she just starts whacking him, his arms, his back, his everything.
Yeah,
So,
but then
Angela.
Angela,
Sorry.
ooh, look at us.
Nope. Sorry.
Angela, she starts screaming and begging for the ghost girls to please help, and then the ghost girls, they start screaming. And then Mrs. Green hears that, which causes her to have like a crazy panic attack, like all of her haunts coming back. Oh, look, a consequence. And then she like stop drops and covers her ears to like block it out. And then Angela just kills her. So
Simple,
mission
effective.
accomplished.
I can't fault it. She went for the kill shot, the only, and just said, I'm done.
I mean, you have to at that point. And then Angela says that she's gonna go get help. She's walking down the road, the driveway.
Again.
Yeah. And then we see Jackson, but he's all clean. So like it's immediate. We know that he's dead and this is another ghost that Angela can see. He says that he's looking for Beth, which is the best thing he's done so far. But then we don't see Beth. So, is she dead? Because wouldn't Angela have seen her too?
Not all ghosts stick around, though. So, like, he obviously had some guilt. So, I think because when Mrs. Green died, the little girls disappeared. So, like, they stuck around because of Mrs. Green. That was their trauma holding them here. He probably feels guilty for Beth's death and is looking for her. But Beth probably didn't have anything holding her back, I assume.
Bye, Beth.
Bye-bye. Good for her.
Yeah. So Angela has her little breakdown. I think that's her realization that Jackson is dead. because she's seen it as an apparition. And then someone drives by and picks up Angela, takes her to the hospital. Then we see that Elliot's also at the hospital. So they're both alive. And they'll probably get married now because no one will ever understand me the way that you do.
Trauma bonded.
It was the 80s. I feel like people did that. And then Angela gets on the payphone because it's the 80s with her grandpa and says that there's a curse, and her grandpa says that Angela can't be alone. And Angela's sitting on the floor, like underneath the payphone, which is fine, except for she's a patient in the hospital. So I'm just like, aren't you, like, shouldn't you be somewhere? But what do I know?
Yeah. Also, hospital floors are disgusting. Get off the floor.
Especially in the 80s.
Especially.
So,
But
but
yeah,
either way.
she says some like ominous shit, like, I'm not alone. I'm like, is she talking about Elliot or is she talking about ghosts? She's talking about her mom? Her brother? Like, what does she mean? And then it's
Well,
just over. Like, the movie's
yeah,
over
because
now.
she's sitting on the floor and then she like kind of looks up and it's pretty faint, but there's like a shadow that comes like over her, like someone standing above her, and that's when she's like, I'm not alone. But yeah, like, who is it? Is it her mom? Is it the ghost? Is it Elliot? Like, we don't know, but we also don't care. And the best part about it is now the movie's over.
And we don't have to talk about it anymore. Goodbye.
Yeah. I watched it with Marissa the other day and she hadn't seen it, and I felt the same way about it that I watched the first time, and I was like, meh. But Marissa was like, I was simultaneously so relieved that it was over because it was boring, but I felt like at that point I was like, okay, well, like, what happens? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it was a 90-minute movie, and I love 90-minute movies, and I'm like, it felt like a 2-hour movie. I don't know, even though like all of those things are happening and like there is plot kind of moving forward, I'm like, how did that
Yeah.
take 90 minutes to tell me that story?
It's kind of like when you're baking. You have all the ingredients, but if you use the wrong proportions, it's gonna turn out shit.
Yeah,
Like
so
they had too much of, and I don't know if it was something, I don't know. I don't make movies.
I did, but
I
other
just
than that.
watch them and talk about them.
Hey, and you know what? That's okay.
Yeah, not everybody
So,
has to make movies.
so that's Malevolent. Obviously, Florence Pugh's career has grown immensely since, and she is great. She's given it all she has. I feel like
Yeah.
everyone there like was doing their job. It
Yeah.
just wasn't a great product. So like I'm just like so meh about it, and I feel like the worst thing that something can be is boring, and it's just boring. Because even
Yeah.
like Sleepaway Camp, I love Sleepaway Camp. I see 100,000 flaws, like technically in that movie. There's a ton of stuff where the story doesn't make sense, but I'm having a good time. I'm engaged. This, no. So
Yeah, and when I
there's
looked
one
at
true Angela.
when I looked at Florence Pugh's like IMDb, because I wanted to see some of the other, I'm like, this girl's been busy. Because I'm like 2018, 2019 alone, there's like four or five movies each in those years. And I'm like, what is, how does she have time for anything? I have no idea.
No, she's doing it.
But we did it. And we have picked our movie for next month. I think we've narrowed it down. I think we're gonna, I have not seen Hereditary. And I haven't seen Ma, but I want to.
They're
So
just
I'm
both totally
thinking,
different. Like, Hereditary
yeah.
is a better movie. A lot more to discuss and break down and think piece. It's really engaging. Ma, it's a PG-13 like fun movie to watch. Like, it's engaging,
Yeah.
it's funny, it's horror, it's gory, it's good. They're just way different. It's the difference between
Yeah.
having a cheeseburger and then a filet mignon. They're just different. So,
So.
but we'll probably end up doing Hereditary because I like the Midsommar Hereditary
Yeah.
sister
Let's get
mashup.
that.
But maybe we'll do Ma in the future.
Yep. And so we will see you next month. Thank you guys if you made it this far for listening, and we appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye.
Do. All of our exit meme videos. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our episode and we look forward to hearing from you.
Find us on Twitter or Instagram to request a movie or even just to discuss your thoughts at Booze and Boobs, or send us an email, boozeandboobs@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we're working on turning this into a thing. So if you can please follow us on Patreon, our account there is Booze and Boobs also.
And what are some of the benefits to joining our Patreon?
Oh, Katrina, I am so glad that you asked. As a patron, you will get early release episodes, bloopers, mini episodes where we showcase scenes from the movies that we're talking about, or just conversations that we're having that we had to cut from our recording.
All that and more. And they're fun tiers. You can be an A cup, a C cup, or you can join the Triple D Plus group like us.
We truly appreciate your support and we look forward to growing our following to create more content for listeners like you.
So we'll see you next time, or else.
Yeah, let's end it with a threat.